time to heed the call for financial freedom. This is the Audible Advisor Podcast with Spiros Vassalakos of Athenian Private Client Group.
Hello and welcome back to the Audible Advisor Podcast. I'm Ben George alongside Spiros Vassalakos. He's the president at Athenian Private Client Group in the Tampa area. And today we're going to talk about something that I know that you are really keen in on every day, Spiros, and that's behavioral finance and these money biases. Because whether or not people want to believe they have them, they pretty much exist in all of us, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We bring this up all the time and people just look at us and like, well, what do you mean about behavioral finance? What is that? You know, what does it entail? How does it work?
Right. So we're going to go through that today and explain these different, really the four main biases that Spiro sees with the people he works with and talks with on a day-to-day basis, and kind of lay those out for you and kind of give you some things to be thinking about and understand why and how they do affect your financial planning and your retirement. So we'll go through that today. Again, if you haven't joined us before, check us out online, theaudibleadvisor.com. You'll find all the episodes there. We've actually talked behavioral finance in past episodes too, so if you want to really get more into it, you can do so there and learn more about the process as well that Spiros uses with his clients at Athenian Private Client Group. All right, Spiros, I think to even begin, before we can even get into the biases, I think just kind of giving a summary of what that behavioral finance actually is for people that haven't understood that or heard that term before.
Well, you know, behavioral finance is actually a study of emotional and intellectual processes that if when you combine them, it actually drives investor decision making and goals. Our job is to, you know, help them through optimizing, you know, their financial outcomes and emotional satisfaction. The goal is really for them to understand why they make certain decisions and how those decisions actually will affect their finances, whether it's a financial plan or it's a portfolio or retirement portfolio. That's really what behavioral finance is.
Gotcha. So everybody has a different approach to money. And so understanding that gives you a better grasp on how to work with them to build that plan. So give me some of the key points to understand when we're talking behavioral finance.
Well, listen, you know, the past few years, we've actually seen behavioral finance increase significantly, you know, especially during COVID. You know, a lot of people had a lot of time on their hands. You know, they basically started focusing on their finances and, you know, they were actually seeking more communication from their advisors. Behavioral finance, you know, has actually helped many of my clients understand their, you know, appetites for risk and actually keeping them, you know, invested during turbulent market times, especially, you know, back in March of 2020 when things were just so volatile because we basically, the pandemic, you know, it was a pandemic, right? It was the beginning stages and people, you know, thought it was, you know, the end of the world. I had one client said, you know, this was the apocalypse. And, you know, they just felt like, you know, they needed to do something. And the first thing they reacted to was, hey, my portfolio, you know, I need to do something. And so, you know, at the end of the day, what we saw, you know, during early 2020, during COVID, you know, we did see two specific biases that, you know, demonstrated the reactions of individuals. One actually is recency bias and the other was loss aversion. Obviously, you know, we're going to go over those and, you know, but, you know, we've seen a lot of that, you know, and then the last two that we're seeing recently is overconfidence bias and anchoring biases. So, you know, we can go over that. Those are the four main ones that we've seen in the last 2 years.
So I guess it's safe to say, when you pointed out that things have kind of gotten, people have been more aware of the behavior during this COVID and the pandemic and everything that's happened around it with the volatility. So I guess like when times are calm and everything's going up, you know, you don't really pay attention to your behavior as much, right? Because it's very easy. But it's in these volatile times where your behavior really rises to the forefront and you kind of start paying attention to it a lot more, right? Sounds like.
Yeah, you know, but even during times when things are nice and smooth, it can also be dangerous too because, you know, you fall into this comfort level, you're not paying attention to your portfolio. One of the things that we see during this time is, you know, clients are asking, you know, what are they paying for, you know, the portfolio? Yeah, they're doing great. They're seeing, you know, some really nice returns, but they still, you know, need to really stay focused during those times as well.
I got you. All right, let's dive into these biases specifically. For anyone that doesn't know these, obviously overconfidence is probably something that you can kind of figure out on your own. But these other ones, maybe you haven't heard of and maybe don't understand. So let's start with recency bias.
Yeah, you know, recency bias is, you know, we see this during periods of market volatility. I mean, you know, this is an investor that wants to actually move their assets to cash to avoid substantial losses, you know, but when the markets actually come back and they start rallying back, this investor actually waits to buy back and actually misses out on the gains throughout the rally. You know, we see this a lot where people are just really afraid to get back into the market. And it's really our job to, you know, really put pen to paper and explain to them why it's the right time to get back in and, you know, why they shouldn't wait to get back into the market.
So the recency bias really plays into emotion, right? That's something that seems like it's very reactive.
Absolutely. It's the type of bias that where, you know, where you're starting to hear a lot of noise and it's more visual and you're seeing this on the news and you're seeing, you know, the market's really being volatile, markets are down. And so this is more, it does become a reactive type of bias. And, you know, unfortunately, we've seen this, you know, a lot, not just during COVID, but, you know, in 2008, we saw this. 2001, 9/11, we saw this. So, you know, and back then people weren't even talking about behavioral finance. You know, people just, you know, advisors were just trying to, you know, really talk to their clients on why they should still stay invested. And it's just all based on risk tolerance and time horizon back then.
Yeah, it reminds me of that quote, you know, be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful. That kind of plays into this recency bias.
That is the Warren Buffett motto.
Exactly. All right. So that's recency bias. All right. How about loss aversion?
Loss aversion is, you know, an investor opting for less risk in their portfolio than actually recommended. So we see this a lot where we will make a recommendation and, you know, clients are actually looking for less risk in their portfolio when they really don't need to be. Because when we're putting together a portfolio for a client, we're basically looking at two things. One is obviously their risk tolerance and their time horizon, right? You know, how much time do you really have? So based on, you know, the age, I mean, we look at the age as well. And, you know, if they're young and they have, you know, 30 years until they retire, we actually will recommend a portfolio that, you know, is more growth orientated, right? Whereas with our, you know, clients that are close to retirement, we start looking at more income orientated type portfolios. But this is an individual that can take more risk due to their financial situation and time horizon. But unfortunately, you know, they're in their mind, they seem like they're less risk adverse and they don't need to be, especially if you have a long time to go until you retire.
This seems like a bias that you might be paying closer attention to now just with inflation, right? Because you might have to be taking on more risk than maybe you expected to or want to.
Exactly, because things get more expensive. If your portfolio is not keeping up with inflation, and, you know, keep in mind, you know, people, you know, assume that inflation is like food prices, right, or oil prices, but there's all sorts of other things that go up as well. So, you know, you just got to keep up with it.
Right. All right, overconfidence bias. I've got a pretty good idea of what this is, but explain how it applies to planning.
This is actually an investor who's actually overconfident in one's own ability. You know, it's funny. It's a tendency to overestimate your own investment abilities, right? These are individuals that are confident in their long-term financial plan, but they tend to forget or have no college savings plan for their children, right? So that's an example. So they're doing everything right. You know, they're focused on the long term, but, you know, they're not focused on the short term things, which is, you know, one, which we see all the time is the college planning for their children. They lack that. They forget about it or they're not doing enough in that area. So that's what overconfidence bias is.
All right, the last one out of the four main biases that you see from people you're working with is anchoring bias. This is one that maybe not everybody's familiar with.
Yeah, this is an investor who actually, and we see this a lot with our clients, new clients that we bring on, that actually cling to pricing levels when they're actually considering buying or selling an investment. So, you know, this normally happens when an investor is thinking about selling, you know, a stock or, you know, maybe a mutual fund or an index. And, you know, they actually anchor to the price that they paid for. And what that does, it actually wait until the price rebounds. So they're and a great example of this is, you know, you have a person that buys a stock at 50, right? $50. And then, you know, it actually today it's worth 60. Mm-hmm. 2 months ago, it was worth $75, right? So now when you're talking to the investor, you know, in their mind, their mindset is they think that they're losing $15, right? Because it was at 60 at one time, then it went to 75, and then it dropped down. So they're thinking in their mind, wow, I lost 15. In actuality, you're up 10 because you purchased it at $50.
Right.
So it's that mindset that you really, you know, that we're trying to adjust and have these conversations with our clients, but we see this all the time.
So we get too caught up in those unrealized gains, right? That we're just kind of hanging on to that too closely.
Yeah, I mean, when we sit down with a client and, you know, let's say when markets are volatile and they started with us and then, you know, when things are great, their account was up 20%. And then all of a sudden the market takes a correction. Now the portfolio is actually down 10%. But in actuality, they're up 10. They're right. Not down 10.
Yeah, you got to see the big picture. That's sure. How anchoring bias plays into it. All right, so why are these biases important? Well, understanding them is important to knowing whether or not you actually kind of fall into one of these categories. And if you're able to identify them and then adjust and maybe lower those biases, it actually leads to better financial health, right?
Absolutely. And you know, the great thing is if you're an advisor that, you know, is like myself, that's focused on the behavioral finance side, you got to be working with a company that actually is able to and has the tools to actually help you understand what types of biases that clients have. So, you know, we work with two companies that, you know, actually help us, you know, and help our clients identify their biases. You know, we found that by doing this, they actually spend less when it comes to their income. And they're actually more likely to plan ahead for the future. And so, you know, using these types of tools where, you know, we put together an 18-question questionnaire for our client when they first come on, that's the first thing we do. And it's nothing about finance. It's basically about certain reactors that, you know, certain situations that they would react in. And then, you know, we would come out with a profile. It's called the Financial Virtues Profile. And it basically tells the client what types of biases they have and in layman terms explains to them what they mean. And then for us, it actually helps us on how to, you know, put together and approach certain financial plans and putting together portfolios for our clients. It gives us an opportunity and an idea on how we can do that just based on their biases. So, you know, if you're doing it as an advisor, congratulations. And your clients are, you know, they should look at you as very valuable. But if you're not, you know, this is, I think, is going to be the future for financial planning.
Yeah, I think that's what's important to kind of understand here is that you're able to build a customized plan for someone based on behavior. So as you understand that, you can build that wealthy lifestyle for them that fits the priorities that they have.
Absolutely. And you know what, to be honest with you, a lot of people want that now. It's not about mm-hmm. the quantitative planning. You know, that's not really the main factor. It plays a role, but they want you to understand them, you know, and understand, you know, how do they react towards certain things and be able to walk them through it. I mean, you know, again, you know, we've become in the last, you know, I would say 10 years, you know, the financial services industry has evolved where we're more psychoanalysts. You know, we have to have that, even though we don't have a degree in it, you know, we have to learn to be a psychoanalyst so we can help our clients through difficult times.
So as you sit down with people that come in for the first time and, you know, as you give this questionnaire to them and kind of learn more about them, what money biases do you see present from your clients before they were your clients?
Well, listen, the first one, and we haven't talked about this, is actually the regret aversion bias. Okay. This is an investor fearing to take action due to previous mistakes and regret and, you know, regret avoidance, right? So give an example, you know, we had a client that, you know, unfortunately in 2001, they were actually around 60 and they were thinking about retiring. 2001 came, 9/11 came, and unfortunately they weren't able to retire because their portfolio was down, you know, a lot. And so, you know, when we were working with the client to, you know, reallocate, restructure, the client had many fears because they didn't want to make a mistake because they knew they wanted to retire eventually. And they didn't want to make the wrong moves. They didn't want to make mistakes because then that would have set them back even more. So we see this a lot. And then the one that we did talk about is recency bias. We see a lot of this during market volatility. You know, at the end of the day, we see clients moving their assets to cash, again, to avoid substantial losses. But, you know, when things start to get back and there's a rally, you know, they tend to sit on the sidelines. And, you know, it's our job as advisors to walk them through it, explain to them, and, you know, to help them get back on track again.
Well, I think it's a great kind of look at behavioral finance and the biases that people have. And if you have one of these, you know, you're not alone. I mean, it's not like, hey, you're doing something wrong. This is just our personalities, how they align with money, and working with an advisor to meet those needs and depending on what your behaviors are. So it's important to understand it, as you can see, and to work with an advisor that can build a plan around that. And that's what Spiros can do for you. So if you haven't gotten in touch with him, if you don't have an advisor, if you want to maybe talk more about behavioral finance and these biases, you know, the best place to start is theaudibleadvisor.com. You can not only listen to all of our podcasts there, but you can also get in touch with Spiros, set up an appointment. And for anyone that wants to do that, right, Spiros, what's the first kind of step, and what do you first do when they come in to meet with you?
The first thing we do is, you know, basically we talk about them, talk about what they want to accomplish. We talk about, what does money mean to you? What are your goals? And we go over the financial virtues profile. We send them that before our first meeting. You know, we want to go over that. We want to really let them know that, you know, we're truly committed in understanding, you know, how they react towards certain things and how we can help them through it, and how we can create a plan or a portfolio that meets and connects to, you know, their reactors, right? Their biases. So that would be the first thing. And then again, you know, obviously the second meeting, and we move on and, you know, we take a look at what we call an asset map, where we look at everything that you have, things that you have currently, things that you're missing. We talk about the things that you're missing and why they're important. And the things that you have, you know, we talk about, you know, how we can, you know, make things a little bit more better for where you can understand what you currently have. And then make some changes if we need to. And then we're off to the races. You know, we're off to, you know, building that long-term personal, you know, it's business, but, you know, I like to keep it personal because that's how, you know, I treat all my clients, personal relationship. And we hope that it's forever. So yeah, that's how we start.
Great. So again, visit theaudibleadvisor.com. You can also call Spiros directly if you prefer that. 727-754-8418. Again, 727-754-8418. All right. Well, great insight, Spiros. And it's great to understand our money biases and just be aware of these to help us with our planning and to make sure we have a better financial future. So thanks for taking the time with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. And thank you to everybody out there. I hope you're enjoying our first couple episodes that are out there. We have a lot more to hopefully educate you on. And again, you can always reach me at athenianprivateclientgroup.com, and enjoy and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Spiros. For Spiros Vassilakos at Athenian Private Client Group, I'm Ben George. We'll talk to you on the next episode of the Audible Advisor Podcast.
Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Athenian Private Client Group are not affiliated.